Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the beginning, from the foundation of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. The imagery here is, of course, poetic. The imagery here is rich. The imagery here is powerful. It speaks about God, the creator of all that you see, of the world. It depicts Him spreading it out like a canvas maker would spread out canvas, like a tent maker would spread out the tent he has made, like a drapery maker would spread out the drapes. It depicts God, the creator of all that is, creating the universe. And compared to God, we, the inhabitants of the earth, are grasshoppers. That's a fascinating image. Grasshoppers. We're not even as strong and as amazingly powerful as that chipotle chimichanga chinchilla thingy that they had up here for the children's sermon. We're not cute and fuzzy and cuddly. We're grasshoppers. We are insects compared to the majesty and power of God. Isaiah, writing in chapter 40, says, "It is He, God, who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants," that's you and me, friends, "are like grasshoppers." Beginning at 24, verse 24. "Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when He blows upon it, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble." The imagery shifts to God as a gardener planting us as if we were grass. Grass, scarcely planted, scarcely sown, just placed out there. Scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, just enough time in this life to sink our roots into this creation, to become a part of this reality. Compared to God's eternity, this measure of a human life is but an instant. Scarcely sown, scarcely planted, scarcely setting down roots. The human just gets going. And it says, when He blows upon them, they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. Like a plant that just gets going, and then the events of this world, the events of life, the difficulties of this life blow across us, and we are blown away like grass, ripped up from the sod and blown off in the wind. I mean, we human beings think we're something special. And yet this God brings princes to naught. "To whom then will you compare me?" God asks. "Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes on high and see." Who created these? Who created the sun? Who created the moon? Who created Mercury and Venus and Mars and Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus and Neptune and Pluto and the other planets and the moons in the solar system and the comets and the stars and the galaxies and the nebula. Who created all that? And you think you're something special. Wonderful story about the scientists. They've been arguing with God. You're nothing special, God. You're nothing special at all. We've come to understand the sciences of life, the sciences of physics and energy, the sciences of chemistry. We have come to understand so much about biology and genetics that we can create a human being. We can create life, not just cloning. We can put together DNA, God, and create life. God says, oh, you think you can create a human being? Yes, we can create a human being. God says, okay, let's see who can build a human being faster. He goes over and he kneels down and he scoops up some mud and he starts to form a man out of mud and dirt. He starts to form it, makes the head and the shoulders and the arms, and by the time he's working on the legs, the scientists are realizing God's already ahead, and they say, oh my goodness, we got to catch up. And so they run over and grab some dirt and start to put it together, and God says, wait a minute, get your own dirt. Who made the dirt? The name for the first man was what? Adam. Hebrew, Adam. In Hebrew, as in most languages, all names mean something. And Adam comes from this brownish, reddish, pinkish clay that you can find, the powerless. I think that's an interesting collection of words there. He gives power to the faint. Actually, the Hebrew says he strengthens. It says in the book of Genesis, God took Adamah, and from Adamah fashioned Adam. From the dirt, from the dust of the earth, God fashioned the man. Who made the dirt? Who made the earth? Who made the stars? Who made the planets? All that you see, Isaiah says, speaking for God. Look up. Look up in the sky. Not just down around here, but look up high. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name. Astronomers recently, past 30 years, one of the biggest projects they've had is counting all of the stars that are visible from our little sliver of the Milky Way galaxy, within just our galaxy. And they started counting in quadrants, samples, not, you know, they're not 147,365,722. No, they're not doing it that way. They're taking the sky, doing a photographic survey, and then they're taking a sample quadrant and counting how many stars are in the sample average quadrant, and then using that to help them estimate the number of stars that are simply visible from our arm of the Milky Way galaxy. And they got up their estimate just for what's visible from here is somewhere in the neighborhood of 65 billion stars. And that's not half of what's in this galaxy alone. And it doesn't count what's in M31, the Andromeda galaxy, or any of the other galaxies that are out there, and there are hundreds of billions of those. And yet God has numbered every one. And while we've only named a few dozen thousand, He has named
all hundreds of billions. And we think we're something special. We as a species, we as human beings, think we're something special. What arrogance of us. He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. He didn't forget a single one. He didn't forget a single one. He knows where each one is, and he knows its name, and he knows its number. And we think we're something special. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? God's forgotten me. God has forgotten me. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't know where I am. God doesn't know what I'm doing. God doesn't care about me. God has totally and completely pushed me out of his purview, out of his vision, and does not give a hoot for me. God asks, why do you say that, O Jacob? And speak, O Israel. Why do you say God has disregarded you? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How dare we think we're something special? When God created the entire universe, how dare we? Yes, dare we. Because God the Father, God the Creator of all that we see, God who spread out the universe like a tent, like draperies, God who fashioned every single object in it, and named it, and numbered it, and knows where it is, and cares for it, and considers it, the God who created absolutely everything, including the dirt out of which we are made, God cares for us. And he tells us he does. And he showed us how much he cared for us by sending his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to die on the hardwood of the cross, to take our sins and put them away, so that we might come into the presence of the Creator of all that is. Amen. This Creator who created all that we see hears us whine and complain and asks us why we do it. And then Isaiah catalogs all the wonderful truths about our Lord God, about Yahweh, the Creator, and our Savior. And this catalog is amazing. He's already established God's omniscience. Omniscience is this great, big, long, philosophical, jaw-breaking word. Preachers and theologians and nutcases like me like to have big, long words to describe very simple ideas. And omniscience simply means knowing everything, all-knowing, all-understanding. It's reflected here in Isaiah, where he writes, he who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, omniscience, the ability to know every one of them by name. Every star, every galaxy, every planet, every moon, every asteroid, every meteor, even every grain of sand in space. He knows and has numbered them all. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God's omniscience, God's ability to know everything, is established here. God's omnipotence is also established here. Omnipotence is another one of those big words. It simply means the ability to do what God wants to do. If God wants to do it, God can do it. There is nothing beyond God's ability to do. All power. Omniscience and omnipotence are established in Isaiah 40. And this God, who knows absolutely everything and can do whatever He wants to do, cares about you and me. That's good news. That's real good news. Here's how He cares for us. According to Isaiah, He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. I think that's an interesting collection of words there. He gives power to the faint. Actually, the Hebrew says He strengthens the weak, or He strengthens the ones who have no strength, and strengthens the ones who have no strength. That sounds weird, but Hebrew has a very repetitive nature to it, especially Hebrew poetry, and when it repeats itself, pay attention. And here especially, He gives power to the faint. He strengthens those who have no strength. And then the second time He says it, He uses a slightly different set of words, and strengthens the strengthless, implied the one whose knowledge is beyond our comprehension, the one whose power is beyond our ability to match or compare, this Creator who created all that we see, strengthens us with His own power, His own presence, His own majesty. Within you is a bit of the strength and power and majesty of the one who created everything. He strengthens the strengthless. He strengthens those without strength and gives them His strength. You know, there are times when I'm just wasted, like right now. You ever have one of those sleepless nights? You read, you listen to music, you turn out the lights and you lay there, and your dog is snoring, but you're not. That was me last night. I didn't go to bed. I couldn't sleep. I don't know why. Maybe God was trying to do something with me. Remind me that my own strength is nothing compared to His. And He gives us all the strength we need. But He doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. Even youths will faint and be weary. And it says literally, the young will stumble with much stumbling. You know, in this life, being young and strong and energetic and able to run a 100-yard dash and nothing flat and play games and stay up all night All of those things are meaningless. Eventually, youths faint and become weary, and the young stumble with much stumbling. This life and the energy of it. I mean, I watch children run around, and I wonder myself, if we could plug into them power receptors, we could solve the oil crisis instantly. Wow, what energy these kids have. Last time I worked as chaplain on a cruise ship, I was watching as some of these kids were running down halls. And of course, you're not supposed to do that. And watching as they would dodge in and around people and under walkers and just absolutely energetic. And I was thinking, if only we could plug them in, what power we would have. Not compared to God's strength. And even they will faint and grow weary. And the young ones will fall exhausted. This life and the strength and the power of this life is transient. It doesn't last. We are given this vessel, this body, this flesh and blood and bone to live in, to grow in, to learn about God in, to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ within, to live in this life, and then eventually we put it aside because it dies. And God gives us a new spiritual body to live in for eternity. One that will not faint and grow weary, and one that will not stumble with much stumbling. But in this life, you might be young and energetic, girls, and you might think, I'll never grow old. Guess what? You'll be plucking gray hairs sooner than you think. Trust me. Sooner than you think. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Kava, wait. The Hebrew word is kava. And kava has the sense of expectation. You know it's going to happen. It's tied up with the concept of faith and the Amen proclamation. So be it. You wait, expecting and knowing that God will provide. I was talking with Peggy this week, and I was amazed to listen to her talk about her struggle with health and her struggle against cancer, her battle, her war against cancer. And I was looking back over the last 4 years, and I was amazed at the expression of patient waiting that we see in Peggy, and the miraculous touch of God's provision that we see in Peggy. If you doubt that God is here, can heal, can transform broken bodies, can transform broken minds, can transform broken relationships, if you doubt that God is real and here today and in this world, speaking to us, reaching out for us, offering us His grace, calling upon us to turn to Him and to repent of our sin and accept a relationship with Jesus. If you doubt all of that, take a look at Peggy. And you will see an example of waiting and how waiting for the Lord results in God's strength being poured out to her. My mother, when she finished her chemotherapy, was talking with Peggy one day, and she said, "Well, Peggy, how much longer will you be having chemotherapy?" And Peggy said, "Probably for the rest of my life." And Mom said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And Peggy said, "I'm not. It's what God has given to enable me to continue in this life and watch my grandkids grow up." That's waiting with faith on the Lord, friends. It's not always easy. I know sometimes that she would give nearly anything to not go for another chemotherapy round every single Friday. But you know what? She waits on the Lord. And she goes and receives it. Because she would rather continue here and watch her grandkids grow up and participate in the life of this church. She would rather do that and go through that chemo than give up before her time. She waits on the Lord. Can we? Listen to what Isaiah says. "Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles." In Hebrew, it reads more like God passes strength up into them, like the thermals under an eagle's wings, and the eagle coasts upwards on them. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's another Hebraic dualism, like I talked about a moment before. Repetitiveness in Hebraic poetry. What does it mean? It uses two related words here. I won't give you the words, you don't need to hear them. But one of the words, run and not be weary, it's action, physical labor, toil in this life. They shall live in this life, work and toil and labor. They shall run and not be weary. They shall work and toil in this life and yet not be weary. This first word, run, is the labor, the physical labor and action of work in this life. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The second word means not the concept of physical toil and labor, but rather emotional, spiritual exhaustion and discouragement. So, they shall run and not be weary. They shall be able to go about their lives and do their daily work and do their tasks of toil, and yet they will not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. They will be able to go through life without spiritual discouragement. My friends, God promises us here in Isaiah chapter 40 that when we wait upon the Lord with the expectation of faithful waiting for God to be present and to work, when we wait upon the Lord, we shall mount up with wings like eagles. God will lift us up and pour into us His strength. And we will go through our daily life working and not be weary. And we will not suffer from spiritual discouragement. Are we waiting on the Lord? Are we waiting on the Lord? Or are we trying to hide from the Lord like an ostrich with its head in the ground? Are we waiting, or are we trying to hide? If we're trying to hide, no wonder we've got our wings pulled in. We're not accepting God's strength. But if we're waiting, we've got our wings spread out in faith and allowing the grace of God, like thermals, to lift us up and to heaven. Wait upon the Lord, my friends. Trust in the Lord. Have faith in God. Trust that God knows where you are, who you are, what your name is, and all of the circumstances surrounding your life. Jesus spoke about this when he said, every single hair on your head is numbered. Jesus spoke about this when he said that there's not a sparrow that falls that God doesn't know it. And aren't you worth more than many sparrows? Jesus affirms this. God, the creator of all that is, cares about you. Why are you hiding? I'm struggling. I don't believe that God really cares. I cannot find my way through the dark morass of this life. I've been living in a valley and I cannot get out. There is no light. How can I get out, my friends? The answer is simple. Stretch out your wings of faith. And allow God's strength to waft you up. Live and act in faith. Participate in the life of the church. Participate in all the means of grace available to us. In prayer, in fellowship, in worship, the singing of hymns, the study of Scripture, the remembrance of baptism, the partaking of the sacrament of Holy Communion. Participate in the means of grace in their many forms and allow God's grace to mount you up like eagle's wings.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.